Welcome to the Dawn of Shays on this lovely September afternoon. It's the last show of the summer because it's going to be the fall equinox here soon. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight, which is a very special show because tonight, for the first time, we're going to be giving away an autographed copy of tonight's guest book. Now, winning is very, very simple. All you have to do is go to my website, www.giascott.com, find the animal on it, and call in on the toll-free number and tell me what that animal is, how many times it appears, and on which pages when I announce it as time. So you got to listen for when it's time, because if you call in early, it doesn't count. The winner's going to be the first person to call in with the right answer after I announce the time. Now, tonight is the 23rd regular live program we've aired since the Dawn of Shades started back in March, with only a few instances in which we weren't here to share your Tuesday evening. Tonight is also the third program in the Spirituality series as we explore what spirituality is and perhaps even find our own personal spiritual path. We will have many more ideas, points of view, perceptions, possibilities, and ideas before this series ends in October, and I hope that everyone is having as much fun exploring this topic as I have had so far. It has proved to be far more complex, far more intriguing, and far more interesting than I would have ever dreamed when we first were scheduling this topic. Now, we may not have managed ever so nicely to find the concept and bundle it into a nice, neat little package that behaves itself, but it will be fun as we learn more about the topic than we ever dreamed there was to know about the topic to begin with, and still might have reached the perimeter of it. The one thing I wanted to mention, though, is that spirituality and religion are not the same concept. They are very different things, and too often people confuse them. People can have a very similar spirituality, yet very different religions, which perhaps makes the whole religion and spirituality topic even more confusing. To keep it as simple as possible, we've tried very hard to not discuss religion while we're discussing spirituality. So maybe that'll help just a little bit. Linda Drake, the author of Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, is our guest tonight. And we're going to discuss things like angels and spirit guides with her, a slight shift along the same theme that we've chosen for this month. Linda was our guest a while back in June, and then we discussed her book as well as the grieving process. So this is a whole new side of Linda for tonight's show. Linda has been a very busy lady this summer, I hear, though. And maybe she'll tell us some of her fascinating exploits since we last spoke with her. How about it, Linda?
Oh, gee, I'm so glad to be with you and your listeners tonight. I happen to be in California at this time. I have been crisscrossing the country for the last 9 months and have had quite a few adventures on my travels, but I've had a great time getting to interact with people. And because that's the love, that's what I do, is interact with people and help them find their own journey, help them understand what their purpose is in this lifetime. And so my travels have given me a great opportunity to do this.
Yeah, I imagine so. Well, you know, I wanted to start off on our topic here, but at the same time, I thought, you know, it's a good idea if we really do sort of start off by defining the terms so there's less confusion. A lot of times we'll use the same words, but they mean different things. So, could you tell us to begin with what an angel is and what a spirit guide is?
Okay, well, the way, first I'll explain that I'm a life path healer, so I work with spirit. Spirit is the consciousness of God. Spirit is the angelic realm. Spirit is the masters. Spirit is those of the light. And so in my work, I channel all of that and give guidance to people of that. So when Spirit first started talking to me about the support group that God provided us with before we came into this lifetime, when we were just beginning to choose what our journey was going to look like for this lifetime, they explained to me about this support group and how amazing this support group was. Well, when I questioned them, well, what kind of support group is this? What do we do with it? How do we work with it? they explained to me that God created angels for us, for each one of us. We had certain energetic beings, which God calls angels, that were assigned to us. They were created specifically for each one of us. When we chose the journey that we were going to embark on, God looked at our plan and decided how many angels we would need for this lifetime. And so he created these angels specifically for us, for each one of us. And their whole purpose is to take care of us, to protect us, to heal us, to comfort us and nurture us through our lives, to give us the encouragement we need, and to direct us along our lives. And so that's how powerful they are, that they are able to influence us in this way. And that's how important they are to our lives, that they have been protecting us our entire life.
Okay, often, so that's an angel. What's a spirit guide?
Often children are able to see their angels, and they interact with them from a very young age. If you'll watch a child or a baby, they're not looking directly at you. They're looking at all of your angels around you because they're able to see them.
And my angels must have a sense of humor because babies usually look at me and they're laughing.
Yes, because they see all of that joy of your angels around you. And animals also see your angels.
Uh-huh.
They are able to see these energy beings. And but they don't know that they're any different than human beings, because they're always able to see them. And children are the same way. They don't realize that these are not human beings, but energy beings of angels. And then along the next thing that God gives us as part of this support group is our spirit guides. Now, you know, some people say, okay, you have one main spirit guide, or you have two or three. What Spirit taught me, what God has taught me about these spirit guides, that they are also part of your support system. And these spirit guides are souls that have been in body. They've been through many, many different lifetimes, but they have now, thousands of lifetimes, many of them, but now they have evolved to the place of their soul's journey that they are permitted to come back and assist us.
Uh-huh.
And you don't just have one of them. You have multiple ones, again, determined by what you chose to experience in this lifetime. And so these spirit guides are souls that often, I should explain that one of the gifts that God gave me was to be able to see and interact with people's support groups, with their angels and spirit guides. So when somebody is sitting in front of me, I'm able to see all of these energies around them, and so I'm able to communicate with their spirit guides. And so their spirit guides are explaining to me why they chose that particular person. And the story that I most frequently hear from them is that they were with that person. They're part of that person's soul group, they were with that person in a specific lifetime, and they tell me about the lifetime that they had with them and the interaction that they had in that lifetime and why they desired to come back as part of this person's support group to help this person understand about its purpose and help it achieve this purpose.
Uh-huh.
So you have all of these spirit guides helping you, giving you guidance for your life, because they've already seen what you drew out as your life plan and your purpose for this lifetime. And so they gather together all of the answers that you need to give you direction for your life.
Okay, so that does kind of define, you know, what they are, and, you know, do they have an effect on us in our daily lives? I mean, you know, like, you know, when I get up and go to work in the morning and spend my day working and then come home in the evening, you know, are they tagging along? Do they do anything besides just watch?
Oh, of course they do. You know, they're with you constantly. And they never have any judgment of you. And no matter what you choose, they go, okay, this is the way that she wants to get it. You know, it's actually plan B or C, and it's going to be a little bit more difficult, but we'll help her anyway with whatever she's chosen to do. But they're constantly guiding you. But you don't realize that you have this guidance system because you've heard them talk to you in your mind your entire life. And so you just think it's your thought system and or your consciousness. But, you know, as you're walking out the door, all of a sudden you hear in your mind, get your sunglasses, or you forgot your keys, or, you know, you need to turn here, you need to do this. That is your spirit guides. That is them talking to you, guiding you through your life.
Uh-huh. So, okay, here's an example. This happened, years and years ago now, probably 20 years or more. My grandmother and my grandfather had left their house and gone into town, and then they were going to go visit a relative. Well, on the way to the relative's house, they passed by their house again, and my grandmother remembered that she had a letter she wanted to mail that she had forgotten. So she was going to stop by the house and get it. And she heard a voice in her head that said, don't go home. So she didn't. And it turned out that during the time period when she was thinking about going home, their house was being robbed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would this have been an example of your spirit guide influencing your day-to-day life?
Exactly. They knew that if she had gone home, that she would have been hurt. She would have been caught in the middle of it. And that was not her purpose. And so they guided her and protected her by just putting that thought into her mind.
Well, she always said it sounded just like a man's voice, but she just didn't know whose voice it was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so they had to give it to her in a different way so that she would pay attention to it. Or else it would have been a thought that just went right through her mind and she never stopped to pay attention to. But then it was in a man's voice, they got her attention. Now, it doesn't always have to be in a man's voice or in a different voice, because mostly it comes to you in just a thought form.
Uh-huh.
Unless they really, really need to get your attention immediately, and that's what they needed to do with her, evidently, because it did get her attention, and she didn't go home.
Yeah, she figured if she heard a voice like that, she just really shouldn't go home.
Exactly. Well, sometimes they have to get in our face to get our attention. They have to do something dramatic that we will pay attention to them, or else we just, you know, rush through our life as we normally do. Without their guidance. But they're constantly working with us. And I love to challenge mine because once I learned to work with them, it made life so much easier. Because when I'm struggling with trying to make a decision for my life and needing some answers, you know, of course, I go to God in prayer. But I talk to my guides. I talk to my spirit guides because God just turns around and puts them to work and says, did you hear what she asked for? God, get busy. But because that's their job in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's constantly giving them jobs, but we give them jobs also. By the more we can interact with them, the more we acknowledge them, it's so much easier for them to connect with us and to communicate their messages to us. And so, you know, like when you're going to bed at night, you know, just kind of line out. I always say, okay, these are the things that I need some help with. You know, while I'm asleep, you go out there and you find these answers for me and help me make these decisions. And your spirit guides, it's not their job to make decisions for you. It's their job and force you to do something you don't want to do or force you to do something you don't want to do. It's their job to give you the tools to make your own decision.
So the comment I had in the virtual auditorium about convincing their husband that their guide wouldn't let them come home from shopping until they spent more than they planned won't work.
No, it won't. Unfortunately, it won't. Of course, my husband comments that, you know, my guides have a lot more effect on me than he does because when they tell me to do something, I listen. But I've learned to listen because too often if I don't listen, I find myself doing it the hard way and making more mistakes and being challenged more when they gave me the guidance I needed to make the decision. Maybe I just didn't want to hear it, you know. So often they'll tell me something, and I'll say, well, oh, can I have a second opinion? And they'll say, well, that was the third opinion now. You know,
well,
do
spirit guides and angels ever make mistakes?
No, they don't, because it's not for them to make the mistake. You have to be careful with your angels because they don't have any judgment over you. So whatever you ask for, they bring to you.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be very careful what you're asking for.
Watch for your wish for.
Yes, make sure it's for your highest good.
Uh-huh.
Now your spirit guides, they also, it's not up to them to judge you and judge the decisions you're making. They give you the choices. They provide those choices for you if you've asked. And if you're open to listening to them, they bring you all of the information you need for your mind to make the decisions. And like
so
I said,
your spirit guides and your angels are never going to lecture you or in any way express disapproval of your inability to pay attention to them or to listen to them?
Of course not. That's your decision. That's your choice of what you're going to do with the information or the guidance that they give you. There's never any judgment. They won't always say, that was crazy of you to do that. You know, they'll just go, okay, so she chose, a more challenging path. And they will still give you the support to help you achieve what it is you need to achieve, even though you've done it the hard way.
And if we continually don't listen to them, nothing happens.
They're not going to do anything to punish us or to judge us. That's not their job. Their job is only to be supportive of us. And
well, I would think that it would be in their best interest to somehow get us to pay attention on occasion, any teacher or mentor will occasionally sort of figuratively shake you and say, would you listen to me?
Yes,
if you continually ignore them.
We create our own problems. It's choices and consequences. And we, through our choices, then we have to suffer the consequences. But they will try to give us the guidance, and they will even create situations for us to help us find the light, to help us experience that certain lesson, and that is part of their guidance for us.
Uh-huh.
Because they know what we came to achieve in this lifetime, and they can see if we are avoiding that lesson or if we are delaying the experience, and so they'll bring it up and put it in our face for us, but it's our decision on what we want to do with it.
Okay.
And, there's no judgment, it's only love. Just as with God, there is no judgment, only love. And no matter what we choose to experience in this lifetime, there is always his or her, his and her, God is a dual energy, but there to support us.
Huh.
And to love us, to pick us up when we fall down, and to give us the encouragement we need.
Well, as far as the bad things that happen to us in our life, it's not that they're going to ever protect us, it's just that we made bad choices.
Exactly. It's not their, well, our angels will protect us from getting hurt. But if it's something we have to experience to learn from, they have to allow us to have that experience and to suffer the consequences.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise we don't learn.
Yeah, there's a saying, you can't learn to, if you never let a child fall down or skin their knee, they never learn how to walk or run.
Exactly. So they don't want to hold us back by just being very protective of us. That's not their job. They allow us to experience life so that we can grow and so that we can learn and achieve our purpose.
And it would be nice if we could figure out what our purpose was sometimes.
Well, yes, and if life was just easy, we would learn nothing from it.
Yeah, I once asked someone, why are some people born with these simple, uncomplicated lives that are always so easy, and yet other people are given all these problems and obstacles and everything. I mean, just becoming 5 years old is an achievement in itself. And yet this other person, essentially has everything handed to him on a silver platter. And what I was told is essentially the person who has a silver platter sort of life didn't have any lessons to learn in this life, so they got an easy one.
Exactly. Exactly. They may have come in for a teacher for others, but, you know, maybe they already had. They already went through the challenges, and so they're just finishing up a few of the loose ends in this lifetime.
That's kind of an interesting, you know, idea to think about, because, you know, sometimes I do wonder, you know, because some people do have a horrible struggle. I mean, everything is such a huge thing to them, you know, and other people find, you know, a hangnail to be, you know, a life-ending event, practically.
Exactly, but that means the one that has the most challenges, they came in most ambitious. They wanted to experience and learn and grow through all of these challenges and get it out of the way so they don't have to keep coming back over and over and over again.
But, I can't help but wonder, you know, who would choose a life where they were a suicide bomber or a mass murderer or a thief or, you know, a con man or something? Why would you choose that sort of life to start off with? You know, I just can't quite get my mind around that idea, why they would choose that.
Well, we all make choices. We all come into this lifetime with both the light and the dark within us. And we go through our life making choices and choosing every day, moment by moment, where we are going to give our power to and what direction we are going to take our life. And yes, certain things are lined out for us. Certain things are destiny. But God gives us the power to co-create our lives. He doesn't create it for us. He allows us to co-create and have free will. And even those people that came in and created such negative energy in our world, they have their purpose too. You know, often it takes somebody like that to teach us lessons and to help us to grow.
Yeah, because you watch some of these people that their whole life is just so negative. And you're like, ooh, am I glad I'm not them. You know, just because their cup's always half empty. Everybody's picking on them. They got the Charlie Brown syndrome going. You know, the whole bit, and they seem to just be a magnet for disaster.
Because that's the belief system that they've taken on, that that's what they deserve, and then they continually pull it to them, not even being aware that they're doing that, but it just becomes their way of life.
I sure hope that it never becomes my way of life. You know, and sometimes you see a person that was positive most of their life, but as they get older, they become, you know, they take on the Charlie Brown syndrome. You know, everybody's always picking on me. My life is so hard. I'm all alone, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, they are all alone because nobody wants to be around them. You know, they do create their own reality.
Yes, they begin developing the negativity, feeding the negativity in them, and then that negativity grows. And then it becomes their life.
Yeah, like a cancer of the soul. And I have often heard stories of soul sicknesses.
Yeah.
You know, and I could see where, you know, it would become a cancer of the soul. And then eventually it's going to affect your body.
Of course, because all of our illnesses go back to our belief systems and our emotions. They're all rooted in that.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, when you really start thinking about how each facet affects the other facet, you know, your physical self, your spiritual self, and so forth and so on. You know, it's kind of amazing.
Because it all works together. We're not just one aspect of it.
Yeah, but hold that thought. It's time for our first break, but I did want to remind you, we're going to be giving away an autographed copy of Linda's book during the program tonight. So log into my website, www.gscott.com. Find the animal, find out where it appears and how many times it appears. When I announce the time's arrived, the first person to call in will be the winner. In the meantime, stay tuned to the Donna Shades. I'll be right back with our guest, Linda Drake. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I am your host, Gia Scott, and I wanted to remind you one more time, if you want to win that autographed copy of Linda's book, you'll need to go to my website and find that animal. When I announce its time, the winner will be the first one to call in on the toll-free number and be able to answer how many times it appears, what animal it is, and which pages it's on. But it's not time yet, so don't try calling in quite yet. I'll announce when it is time, and we're going to go back to our discussion with Linda Drake. Linda, before we get going on our topic again, would you be so kind as to our listeners where they can find your book, about your website, and so forth?
Okay, well, you can, the name of my book is Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. It's about death, grief, and communicating with your loved one and spirit. It helps you understand about the soul's journey and the soul's journey through the experience of death, what happens when you cross over, and how you can continue the circle of love with your loved ones that are left here. And you can find my book at most any bookstore at this time, or you can go to my website, www.lindadrakebooks.com, and you can order an autographed copy and read all about the book and about my work.
Very good. And let's see, where were we? We were talking about the angels and spirit guides as your support group.
Yes. As I was talking about, you know, God gives you the support group when your spirit chooses to come into this physical body, into each one of your lifetimes. And, you know, we talked about the angels being a part of the support group and how your spirit guides are a part of your support group. But there's also another part of your support group is your loved ones in spirit. Because they do not leave you just because they die. Your love for them does not die, and so their love for you does not die. And so when they cross over and they are given a spirit body, they then can choose to come back and help you fulfill your life purpose. Now, of course, we all came here with a life purpose, and we work all the way through our lives trying to fulfill that and even trying to figure out what it is. And often we are fulfilling it at the very time that we're wondering what it is, but we all came in with a purpose. And your loved ones that have crossed over, they know how important it is for you to attain this purpose. And so they'll come back and give you the guidance throughout your life, the rest of your life, helping you do this.
Mm-hmm. So I gather there is no shortcut to figuring out what your life purpose is, which is a question that is on everybody's mind, at least a part of their life.
Of course. But what Spirit has taught me about life purposes, and because that is a big part of what I do with Spirit, and it's helping people figure out what their life purpose is and helping them attain it, is based on what you chose to experience in this lifetime for you, because you have your spiritual path and you have your human ego path. The human ego path is made up of what issues you chose to experience in this lifetime. Now, there are 7 major issues that you could have chosen from, and may I go through them for you?
Sure.
Okay, just to help people understand, because once they understand what issues they chose for this lifetime, it's a lot easier to see what your purpose is.
It makes absolute sense to me.
Yeah, it really makes it easy when you can stand back and look at your life from that perspective. Now, the first issue that you could have chosen for this lifetime is the issue of trust. Trusting that people are going to be there for you, that they're going to meet your needs, that you can be vulnerable with them, and they are not going to hurt you. And then the next issue is the issue of abandonment. This could be physical abandonment, emotional abandonment, neglect. It comes in many forms.
Uh-huh.
Then there is the issue of abuse. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse. Often, if you chose the issue of abuse, you have been abused most of your life, and you don't even realize that you're experiencing it because it's so natural to you. Then there is the issue of control. Now, with all of these issues, you would have chosen parents or core family members that would help you experience these issues, because it doesn't do any good to choose an issue if you never get to experience it. And so these family members are there to help you, help push your buttons and help you experience the issues. So if you chose the issue of control, of course, you'd have to have a parent or a sibling that helped you experience this issue. And so they would be very controlling of you. The parent naturally controls the child's world to keep it safe. But if the parent chose the issue of control and the child chose the issue of control, you can see where it would be played out in a big way. And so there would be, the parent would be probably overbearing with the child, controlling all the child's thoughts and actions and emotions, or telling them how to think, and thus taking away a lot of the child's self-worth. And so the child doesn't learn how to trust their own decisions, their own choices. Then there is the issue of, and with the issue of control, now you can take it out into your life, and you can play it out, whether you choose to be the controlling person, or you go out looking for somebody and control your life, control the life of others the way your parents parent controlled your life, or you can go out and look for a partner that is controlling so that you feel safe. And then there is the issue of judgment. Now, many of us, you know, chose that as an issue. And look around your world, and you'll see all the judgment that goes on in our world. And so you have to learn how to use the issue of judgment in a positive way, because many of us have it, and we're constantly trying to perform to somebody else's standards, constantly trying to earn somebody else's appreciation or respect or love. This love is determined by somebody else's judgment of us.
Okay.
Then there is the issue of responsibility. Now, some of us came into this world feeling like we have to be responsible for everybody, that whether it's financially responsible or we have to be the healer that goes out and helps heal everybody's world and fix their world, or whether it's, you know, you have to be responsible in your job and earn the respect. Responsibility in many of our worlds.
Well, I tell you what, if you're the eldest child in your family, you've probably got responsibility on your list of issues to begin with, because you tend to, from a very early childhood, you are responsible for someone else.
Exactly.
You know, to a degree.
So, you know, if you chose to come in to a family with more than one child, then you had to have chosen the issue of responsibility.
Uh-huh.
But then there is the last issue, and I call this spirit's trick, because it's the issue of love. And we all came in with that issue. And the issue of love helps put us in situations where we experience all of the other issues. Because we are constantly searching for relationships, for the love in a relationship. And in that search for that love, we will play out many of the different issues.
Okay. So someone who's always searching for love, you know, may well have issues everywhere?
If they're constantly searching for love and they feel like they cannot attain this love, you probably chose all of those issues because you've been experiencing those issues in your relationships. And that's why you're having such a difficult time receiving the type of love you need, because you are judgmental of yourself and you don't know how to love yourself.
Well, you know, many people have said that we are our own worst enemies often, because we do tend to judge ourselves much harder than we would judge even our enemies.
That's so true.
Yeah, because, you know, I keep telling my daughter, you know, you should treat yourself at least as well as you would treat a stranger.
Of course, but we don't.
Oh, no. We tend to just beat ourselves up every night. You know, you go over your list of sins for the day, and it's like you forget to look for the good deeds of the day, too.
Yes, we forget to look at all the positive aspects of it. And, you know, and if you came in with that issue of judgment, yes, you're so hard on yourself. And
yeah,
then you begin to, you convince yourself that you're not worthy of love. And so then you begin sabotaging your life and pushing the people that love you the most away from you. Or you become very fearful of relationships. And so you cut yourself off and don't give yourself the opportunity to have a positive relationship.
Uh-huh. So in all of this negativity that we seem to be surrounding ourselves with, in most of our cases, you know, the average person tends to surround themselves in this blanket of negative stuff. How can you get rid of it and become a more positive person without that negative barrier between you and the rest of the world?
Have awareness. You have to have awareness of your actions, of your thoughts, because your thoughts create your reality. So if you believe that the world is all negative and that you don't deserve the best, you don't create it. These are all belief systems that were taught to me by the group consciousness of Abraham. And many of you may have heard about the group consciousness of Abraham. They work with God to help teach humanity empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have heard about some of their work through The Secret, the book The Secret, or because they contributed to the information that was in that book.
Uh-huh.
And the some of Esther Hicks's books about the law of attraction, or Ask and It Is Given, and that's all channeled by Abraham. That they are a group consciousness that helps empower people, helps teach people to change their thought, to change their lives, because we have the power to do this.
So how can we start to tap into this power and develop our awareness and become who we could be?
First, you have to love yourself. First, you have to believe that you deserve it. And so often, we have created such a negative thought pattern that we don't deserve things, that's what we create in our life. We create lack. And lack is what we fear most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true, you know.
Whether it's lack of money or lack of love or you know, lack of happiness. We fear that, yet then we create it. And we create it through our own thoughts. So if you begin loving yourself, that is what you focus on, is loving self, so that you can teach other people how to love you. So that you know that you are worthy of bringing in only the best and only the most positive thoughts and positive actions. And this is what will come to you.
So people who tend to always be thinking everybody's out to get them, that they're doing things to them. It's, you know, the paranoid sort of behavior. You know, that everybody literally is out to get them. You know, how can you get past that sort of, you know, mindset? Or how can you help someone that you care about that is like that?
Those people are focusing on every negative thing that has ever happened to them. And they are empowering that negativity. They are expanding it and living according to that negativity. Instead of changing their belief system and releasing that negativity from their life, consciously releasing it from their life and not focusing on it. It's when we focus on it that it becomes so big and it becomes our reality.
Yeah, because so often you look at someone who's living that sort of life, that paranoid sort of outlook, you know, always suspicious of everyone, they start driving away friends and family members, and then, you know, like you said, they become what they're most afraid of being.
Yes, because they are creating their reality to be that. The best thing you can do is to continually pray for them, pray that they pull light into their life and send light to them. Instead of just separating yourself from them, send light to them. Now, often that type of person becomes an energy vampire without realizing it. Now, we can all be energy vampires when we become, when we are in a negative place in our life and we feel powerless, we reach out and pull energy from others. And so having that awareness of what that person is doing for you, pulling your power away from you and, you know, handing you back their negativity, having that awareness that you begin to protect yourself from it.
Uh-huh.
Because it is necessary that you do not give your power away, but send them power, send them the light, the power from God to empower their lives, because this is available to them.
Well, you know, you talk about energy vampires. I know that on a few occasions in my life, I've had to have contact with specifically active drug addicts, not, you know, they were actively using drugs. And I found that I would leave after a brief visit with someone that was, you know, suffering from this addiction, and I would be exhausted. I felt like I had been just wrung out, and it would take me a day or two to just to recover from it.
That's exactly what they do to you. They don't realize how the drugs or the alcohol has depleted their energy and how they gave away all of the positive energy from their body, and then their body starts developing negative energy. And so when they are with somebody that has this energy, has the power of the light around them and has this positive energy, then they begin draining that person from so that they can survive.
Right. Yeah.
Because
it's a survival. It's like their soul is just so sick and starving that it will do whatever.
Exactly. That's what it does to people. And so when you have a whole group of people that are negative in that way and they are depleting their soul's energy, then they all create darkness around them. And they can't seem to get out of it. So when somebody comes into their energy field that has a positive energy, that person there, unless that person protects themselves, they will be drained instantly.
Well, that brings us back to something else entirely. You know, all of us are going to have to be around negative people at some point in our life, unless we're living at the top of a mountain where we can control everybody. And then we probably have control issues. But how can you protect yourself?
It's,
you know,
very,
because
very important.
This is very draining.
It is. It's very important to protect yourself because the energy field around you is your responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, you can create the light or the dark. It is your choice with your energy, with the energy around you. So it's important that you protect yourself. Now, there are many different ways that are taught to protect yourself. Now, Spirit taught me that all I have to do is ask to be placed within a bubble of white light. So I surround myself every time I'm stepping out of bed in the morning or even before I go to bed at night, or if I am going to be around a person or group of people that I know hold a lot of negativity, I surround myself, and I surround myself with the white light of the Masters or the white light of God. It's whatever you choose. As long as you are focusing, you are setting the intent to focus this white light of energy around you, it creates a veil of protection.
Okay. And that's, you know, I live in New Orleans, and, you know, since Katrina, we've had so much negativity. We've had an increase in suicide. You have all these bad things going on around you. People are depressed. There's a lot of negative energy around, okay? And then you have, you know, tourists who come in to party, and yeah, I wouldn't exactly say they're radiating positive energy after they've been here 24 hours. You know, and so protecting yourself is something that's very important, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that lives in an area like that, you know, even if you're not on the Gulf Coast.
Well,
every area has their issues.
No matter what area you live in, there's always going to be energy vampires around you. Whether it's just, you know, you walk into your office and somebody's having a really bad day, and so they've depleted their positive energy with their negativity, and so they're looking for somebody to drain, no matter where you're at. And so all of us should be protecting ourselves, no matter what world we live in.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense, because I've been having this Monday issue. Mondays I'm just exhausted. It didn't matter if I worked on Sunday too. It didn't matter what happened on Monday. Just I get home from work and I feel like I have been up Mount Everest and down all before noon.
Yes, because you have been in the presence of people that, you know, their energy was drained all weekend.
I guess so.
They're looking for somebody to feed off of.
Yeah, well, I know at the end of the day, I will be exhausted. I will go to bed hours earlier on Monday than I will any other day of the week.
Yes, their choices are draining their energy, and so they just come to work to recharge.
Well, actually, it's probably not people who are coming to work with me. It's people I have in contact in the course of the day.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't work with people. I work with dogs, which is really kind of nice.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah. So,
but you have to understand, it's important to understand that what our animals, their purpose for us, and what our animals do is they heal us. They will take our negativity and clean it off of us and recharge us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of people don't understand why I enjoy it so much. But for me, I would say that the dogs are truly honest and grounding, and, you know, they just don't have much negativity usually.
Well, what you're probably doing is the animals that you're working with don't have negativity in their spirits, but they're carrying around their owner's negativity.
That could be, but I would say that, you know, really it feels like it's a small percentage compared. Most of them are just really happy.
Oh, yeah.
But I deal with them in a positive way. You know, I'm not grooming them. I'm not torturing them. I'm not, you know, giving them shots or anything like that. So, you know, everything's happy, and they're having a good time, and they are happy. And, you know, maybe it would be different if I worked in a vet clinic.
Uh-huh. They feed you.
Yeah, I would say that they really do.
Good. Yeah.
Because it is, it's a very, it's a fun job. Not many people can say their day job is a fun job. And I do find that, and my own personal dog, because I own a dog myself, especially the older one that's been with me so long, she's very in tune with how I am feeling. And on a bad day, she's right on me, and, you know, it would just never, ever backs off. I mean, she will pester me just to make sure that, you know, it's like I make sure I recharge and I plug in somehow.
Mm-hmm. Our animals are very, very important to us. That's why we travel in a motorhome at this time. It's a very expensive doghouse.
Yes.
Yes. Because we wanted to have our dog with us while we travel. So because he just brings so much to our world and does so much healing for us. So whether it's a dog or a cat, you know, they're important to our lives, or even a bird, how they bless, you know, can bless somebody's life and bring joy to them.
I think it's because they have such a honest character or spirit, however you want to put it. There isn't any deceit. There isn't any ulterior motives. They're just happy that you're there with them.
Exactly, they are.
You know,
and very accepting and no judgment.
Yeah, maybe they're a physical manifestation of our spirit support system.
Well, our angels do work through them. Our angels do work through them because the angels can bring us healing through our animals.
Well, yeah, that could very well be. I had a tooth pulled that ended up with a dry socket, and it was a whole nightmarish situation. And the entire time I was feeling so dreadful, my 90-pound dog insisted on sleeping draped around my head.
He knew what you needed.
Yeah, I guess so, because I was like, you know, look, you're really too big to arrange yourself around my pillow. But she just wouldn't listen to me. So, yeah, and she never normally does that. She's a dog that normally prefers the floor because she's very thick-coated, and it's cooler down there. But it is now time for our break. So, everyone, please stay tuned, And we will be right back with our guest, Linda Drake. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott. And I wanted to remind everybody that if you want to win that autographed copy of Linda's book, you will need to go to my website and find that animal. When I announce it's time, the winner will be the first one to call in on the toll-free number and be able to answer how many times it appears, what animal it is, and which pages it's on. And with that, we are going to... I'm going to give the toll-free number if you want to call in and ask our guest, Linda Drake, some questions. That toll-free number is 1-877-786-0562. And you can always raise your hand in the virtual auditorium, too. So with that, Linda, let's see, where were we? We were talking about pets. But I wanted to ask you some more questions. You talk about this support group of Abraham. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, Abraham is the name that this group consciousness goes by. They always laugh at me because they said humans are so funny, they have to name everything. And where most of the universe just know each other by their energies. But Abraham is a group consciousness that works between those of the light, which is the consciousness of God, the masters, the angelic realm. They work between them and us, humanity, and give us the guidance that we need to help us achieve our purpose. So they are like our support group. Just as our angels and spirit guides and our loved ones in spirit, they are there with us, helping us. Now, many different masters work with us, and we're not even aware of it.
Uh-huh.
We open up our when we're ready. We open up our consciousness, and different masters come in to work with us, giving us guidance for our life and helping us see ourselves in a more spiritual way, and empower us spiritually to find our connection between ourselves and God, or whatever you choose to call your Creator.
Uh-huh.
And so, Abraham's purpose. And as I said, it is a group consciousness of highly evolved beings that have taken on this purpose. But their purpose is to empower humanity, not to take our power away from us or judge us in any way, but to help us achieve a higher awareness of how powerful we are in controlling our own lives, in controlling our destiny, and helping us to achieve all that we desire.
Ah, okay. So, you know, does everybody have, you know, a support group like this? And how can you learn to listen to them?
We all have our own support group, as I was talking about, you know, the masters or even work with us when we desire, when we open up and sit down and give them permission to work within our lives. You know, we can give our spirit guides and our angels permission to work with us on a closer level and, you know, make the commitment to them that we want to have them in our lives, and we invite them in, but we also make the commitment to listen to them.
Uh-huh.
So we empower them to be a part of our life. But they are our spirit guides and angels. They are here to give us the guidance. And so then we reach out, and if you want to work with a specific master, all you have to do is ask.
Uh-huh.
All you have to do is set the intent that you want that master to give you guidance for your life. And they're there because they are all available to us. That is their purpose in helping humanity raise our awareness and taking us to a higher vibrational level. Because you cannot function. As you raise your vibration in the vibration of your life, of your spirit, you cannot function in negativity. It makes it very difficult to stand in the light of a high vibration and also pull negativity towards you. It just doesn't work.
Okay.
It's two opposing forces.
All right. So, you know, by raising our awareness, we can essentially eliminate that negativity from our lives. I mean, I keep wondering, how can you learn to listen to this spiritual support group that you come to this life all equipped with? It'd be nice to use it as much as possible.
Yes, and the way to use that is through meditation. You know, we rush through our lives in a constant chatter of information coming at us. And, you know, but you have to make the conscious effort to quiet your mind, so that your guides and masters can talk to you, so that they can interact with you. The best way to do that is through meditation. Now, meditation can be done in many different ways. You know, I have to do the guided meditation CD or tape, because I have to have something that occupies my mind, what I call the monkey chatter in my mind, and I call that the male side of my brain, because it's the analytical side.
Uh-huh.
But so that the female side of my brain, my intuitive side, can open up and connect with my masters and my spirit guides. And so you have to train yourself to do this. You have to make a conscious effort of it. You can't just say, you know, okay, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, talk fast, you know, and expect your guides to connect with you and you be able to hear what they have to say, because they're constantly working with you, trying to slip, you know, a word in here and a word in there and a thought, and it's always a struggle for them, because we rush through our lives with such determination to get from one spot to the next. And so you have to train your mind to hear. You have to give them the time and space. And you have to make a commitment with your guides and angels that you want to interact with them. And then it makes their messages just flow to you. And it makes it so much easier to make the best decisions for your life.
Yeah, you know, because I know that myself, you know, when I try to quiet my mind, I suffer from insomnia. Half of it, the going to sleep part, is because I can't get my mind to get ready to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as the waking up again during the night, I don't think it's because my mind kicked into gear again. I don't know why I wake up, but I've always done that. You know, so quieting your mind is something that it's important, whether, you know, it's just for physical health or because you do want to meditate. That's something we all need to learn how to do.
Well, some people cannot, you know, they're hyper and they just cannot relax enough to just sit down and do a meditation. So maybe their meditation, maybe their connection with their spirit guides and angels happens while they're running or they're walking. You know, my husband, you know, he does his meditation on the front of his boat while he's fishing. So we all have a different way of calming ourselves down and listening. You know, blanking out our chatter and just listening.
I never thought of fishing as meditation, but I think about it. That is the one time it's like I give myself permission to do nothing, because fishing is really a lot about sitting there doing nothing.
Exactly.
You know, most of the time, anyhow. I mean, sometimes the fish would be so annoying as to keep biting, but most of the time you sit there a lot and do nothing. And that's not a bad thing, you know, to sit there and do nothing. And you know, that might be a very good, or something rhythmic that you really kind of tune out while you're doing it. Sense painting used to be something that was there. Again, it was something that I just sort of, you become an automatron. Your mind is occupied with the act of running that brush up and down, and yet it doesn't require your conscious mind's attention.
Yes. So see, all of these different things can be meditation for people. It doesn't have to, you know, be a consciousness sitting where you're just sitting with your legs crossed and, you know, oming. You know, that may work for some people, but that doesn't always, people don't always connect with that. That's not always their way of doing it. So they have to find a specific way that works for them.
Yeah. Now, Linda, I did have a question in text from the virtual auditorium, and they wanted to know, I think they mean, you know, primarily perhaps in person, but how do you deal with people who accuse you of being a charlatan?
Oh, gosh. Well, when people, you mean when they actually accuse me, how do I deal with it?
Right.
Well, from the very beginning, you know, I had, this was not my world at all when Spirit came in, and so Spirit had to convince me that it was okay to do this.
Uh-huh.
And so they, the first thing that they did was they created a miraculous healing of my physical body. So
uh-huh.
that was something that I couldn't argue with. You know, one day I was totally crippled up, and the next day, you know, my body was healthy and strong. Well, it was 2 days, but my body was healthy and strong, and I was, you know, I was able to enjoy life again. Well, that
uh-huh.
got my attention. So, you know, I couldn't deny that. But then they had to prove everything to me. And one person came to me one time, and they said, well, you claim to be a healer. And I said, I claim to channel God's healing energy to people. And it's their choice if they want to heal. And they said, well, how do you know that's not of the devil? I said, well, I've never seen the devil miraculously heal people or bring joy and happiness and love to their lives. That's not the devil's work. And that's what my work does for people's lives.
Uh-huh.
And so,
it's hard to imagine a negative entity bringing positive effects.
Exactly. Negative entities do not work with the energy of the light, you know, bringing that type of healing to people's lives, whether it's an emotional healing or a physical healing. You know, the darkness does not create that in our lives. And I've been working with this for 9 years, and I just become more and more confident in the works that I do, knowing that I've been allowed to be a part of God's miracles.
So, you know,
more than the accusation
of being a charlatan, isn't it difficult when you deal with people who just simply disbelieve?
Oh, there's always going to be the disbelievers out there. And, you know, I'm not judgmental of them. That just happens to be the life that, and the choices that they make. And
uh-huh.
so if that's the way they want to live, you know, that's okay with me. You know, they can live that way. If they want to be in denial and push the light away from them, that's okay. That's their choice. And I don't accept their judgment of me.
Okay.
It's not my purpose to judge them, and it's not my purpose to accept their judgment.
And actually, that might be an excellent tactic to take with anyone who confronts you with negativism of any sort. It's simply
exactly.
that's their choice, and they can do whatever, and that's my choice to agree or to let it into my life.
Exactly. And that's what Spirit taught me, because in the works that I do, there's always going to be people out there, you know, that want to claim that, you know, okay, I'm crazy, I'm a charlatan, you know, I'm of the devil. You know, that's their view. And
uh-huh.
they're welcome to it.
Uh-huh, yeah. You know, a lot of people find out that I do this program, and they're like, you know, you talk to wackos. I mean, you know, how can you honestly portray this stuff as being real? And it's like, look, you know, there's a lot of things that defy explanation by the religion of science. And, you know, a lot of times religion is the most exclusionary, or not religion, but science is the most exclusionary pseudo-religion I can possibly imagine. Because if they can't measure it, bottle it, store it, and reproduce it, it doesn't exist.
Exactly, and look at the limitations that they've put on the world.
Uh-huh.
And the
yeah.
world's perception.
You know,
so
and there is so much that... Yeah?
I can't explain how I do my work. I can't explain how it happens or, you know, all the details of it. I don't know. I've learned to trust. And through that trust, miracles happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if we limit our belief system in miracles, look what all we're missing.
we only believe in things that we can bottle, reproduce, measure, weigh, see, touch, taste, etc., and nothing else exists, there's a whole lot of things that don't exist then, including love.
Exactly. Can you explain love? Can you bottle it?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, you can't explain how it happens, how it works, how it affects people. There's no specific pattern that it's always going to work by.
Yeah.
But it's there. It's real.
And oh, yeah. It's very real. And you know, it's something that everybody, including those who subscribe the hardest to the religion of science, wants, craves, seeks, desires, or may have.
Exactly. There are many different truths out there. And our purpose is to find what our truth is. Find what fits our life and what brings us joy and fulfillment in our lives that is not negative in how it influences others.
Uh-huh. Well, one thing that I did want to ask you about, and that was about, you know, the angels and spirit guides. Going back to that portion of our discussion tonight, you know, they can't fail, apparently. But, you know, a lot of people talk about fallen angels. I mean, do angels ever fall down and become negative entities?
No, not really. There are dark angels out there. Yes, there are. Just like, you know, there's dark human beings. Angels actually, I guess they do make a choice to work with the darkness. But that is only to challenge us. You know, there has to be duality. There has to be duality. So there has to be darkness in the world. There has to be Satan.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so that we can learn to live, that we can learn lessons, so that we can grow, so that we can make our own decisions and empower our own lives. So there has to be darkness to have this balance, so that we can have choices.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, Linda, we do have a question in the virtual auditorium. So, Alan, if you would come to the mic and give your first name and your location, you are live and on the air with Linda Drake.
That is so
okay.
True. I like that. I like what he's asking, because what he is pointing out, you know, he talks about the magic and how it can be of the light or of the darkness. And magic.
Okay, Glenda, you got to hold it right there because we've got to go to break. Folks, this is the last break of the program, and stay tuned. We're going to have our little giveaway as soon as we return from this break with our guest, Linda Drake. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Tia Scott, and we're talking tonight with our guest, Linda Drake. We are now going to give away an autographed copy of her book, just as someone calls in on the toll-free number, which is 1-877-786-0562, with the right answers as to what animal appears on my website, which is www.giascott.com, how many times, and which pages is it on? So, this is your chance. And in the meantime, Linda's going to answer the question we took just before we went on break.
Okay, I thought that was a great question and one that, you know, I had often asked, but not in the same way he had asked it. Because what he was asking was pretty much, what is our purpose? You know, he talked about the energy of black magic and white magic. Yes, there is. And that's just like the energy that we create in our lives every day. You know, if you choose to create, you know, negative energy, that's just as similar to black magic, because you are affecting somebody else's life in a negative way. If you are creating positive energy and positive karma in your life, then that is like white magic. It is blessing your life and blessing the lives of others. Now, one of the questions that I asked, you know, spirit or God, when they first awakened me to what my purpose was in this lifetime, and that purpose was to work with God to help heal people's lives, I was quite overwhelmed by that purpose and was in denial that I was the right person for the job. But they assured me that I was, and that all I had to do was just listen and do God's work every day. Uh-huh. And so that's about the instruction that they gave me. They just told me, just listen and do what we tell you, and you will fulfill your purpose. So that's what I've been doing. But one of the questions I asked was, because I didn't, again, all of this spirituality, this spiritual world, was not my world. I understood about religion. I was raised in a very strong religious background. But it was not giving me what I was wanting, what I needed beyond the religious belief. And so I was always searching for more, but, you know, the metaphysical world and the realm that's out there connected with spirituality, I was afraid of it. I didn't understand it. So I avoided anything like that. And until God just, you know, knocked on my door and walked in and announced themselves that they were there to work, I didn't understand it. But when I asked the same thing, you know, what is our purpose here? You know, what are we supposed to be doing? And why do I didn't believe in past lives? And they had to prove to me that we had past lives. And so I asked, well, I don't want to have to keep coming back. What do I have to do so I do not have to keep coming back? And what is the purpose of humanity here on this planet? And they said that the purpose of humanity was to learn how to love unconditionally. And that when we each attain this type of love, we no longer love for everyone, not just for your partner or your family or your best friends, but everyone. And once we attained that type of love, we no longer had to suffer through the challenges of life. We no longer had to come back into this lifetime if we didn't choose to. Because if we loved unconditionally, there would be total forgiveness for anyone that had ever hurt us in any way. Well, you can, as you look around, you'll see that many of us, we haven't got there yet. Most of us haven't.
I don't know how many times in a day I'll tell myself, just let it go, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just be in forgiveness. Don't be in judgment of that person, and don't let them be in judgment of you. Just be in forgiveness, and just be unconditional love. That's the way God loves us, is unconditionally. And so if we can attain that in our lives and work that in our lives, then we have fulfilled our purpose here.
Okay, well, I have a question from the virtual auditorium. What happens if one keeps asking God to come into their lives over and over again, but nothing keeps happening? There's no answer.
God is there. You're not the one. You're the one that's keeping him from being a part of your life. Because God is always there for us. Always. From, you know, God is within us. God is a part of us at all times. We are the ones that are in denial. We are the ones that feel that we are either not worthy of his love or his interaction with us, or, you know, we close the door and don't let him in. So he is always, God is always a part of us. We just sometimes don't feel him.
Yeah, you know, how can you really make sure that, you know, you do feel him? I mean, because sometimes we... Hello, you there, Linda?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we must have somebody on the phone, because all of a sudden I'm hearing a dial tone. That was a little strange. Okay, well, I thought, oh, we lost somebody. So how do you make sure that you hear that God is in your life?
It's trusting. God is there all the time. As I said, he is a part of you, but you have to trust this. And if you don't trust it, all you're doing is denying yourself that feeling of unconditional love and acceptance. And that's when we create a sadness within ourselves, a loneliness, because we're the one that's pushing him away. We're the one that's denying our worthiness to be a part of God's energy. When it's within us all of the time.
Okay, well, you know, because a lot of times, you know, people do question, you know, how can I know? You know, how can I be sure?
We want to blame God for anything that bad that happens within our life, whether it's somebody dying or you know, losing our job, or we think, oh, we're being punished for something. God does not punish us. God did not create the journey that we're on. We created it. God is there to support us as we walk through that journey.
Yeah, that's very true. And sometimes it's real hard not to blame, blame God for the bad things that have happened.
Of course, we want to blame somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to blame somebody for the negative things that happen in our lives. And yes, you know, there is an energy that is responsible for the negativity that happens. But for some reason, you chose to allow yourself to have that experience. And that means you wanted to learn something. You needed that experience to grow. And so you've created that experience in your life, whether it's a health issue or, you know, a financial issue. You've created it somehow in your life, and you've chosen to be a part of that experience for your opportunity to grow. But God doesn't abandon you during that time. God is there to support you, to pick you up, to dust you off, to carry you through the experience. And you have a whole realm of angels that are assisting you with whatever you choose.
And sometimes I guess I have to believe into an all-forgiving sort of God, because I really cannot accept a God that is so mean and vindictive to inflict pain and agony on innocent people and you know, even children. You know, I can't believe in that sort of an entity, so therefore, God has to be all love. I mean, that's just the process of elimination.
Oh, I've questioned him. a number of times I've questioned them, well, how about this? Did you create this? How about that? Why did that happen? You know, I questioned all of that because, remember, I didn't believe in the spirit guides. I didn't believe in the masters. That we had all of this assistance. I had my religion that I went by, that I lived by. And so, of course, it was a judgmental God. And, you know, that I was constantly, you know, in danger of sinning and going to hell. And so I had to learn a different belief system.
Yeah, hang on just a minute here. Folks, we're having a little bit of problem with the phone lines. So if you've called in and you've hung up, please stay on the line instead of hanging up. And the producer is just going to get your contact or get the answer from you. If it matches the answer that I've given him, then he's going to get your contact information so we can send you the book, and I'll announce your name on the air. So, Linda, let's go back to where we were talking.
We were talking about, you know, our belief system. And, you know, I've learned so much from Spirit. Again, Spirit did not allow me to read books, to study, take classes. They didn't allow me to do any of that because they told me, just ask them and they will give me truth. And so that's where all of my knowledge has come from, is just by going to Spirit and going to the different masters and the group of Abraham and asking for answers. And so these are the answers I'm passing on to you, because I know all of you have the same questions that I had and the same belief systems that you had to overcome. You know, spirituality is not a religion. It's a connection between you and God. It's a connection with the God within you.
And it really doesn't matter what name you give that omnipotent entity. You can call it God, Allah, Yahweh, whatever. It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't.
It's really all about
energy.
Right. You know, that
it's an energy within you.
And around us.
Yes. It's an energy that it makes up the entire world. Everything, whether it's the leaf on the ground, or the tree, or the dog, or, you know, the squirrel, or us, God is within each one of those things because He created it. And you can call this creator or the master, you can call Him anything you desire.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. And He's not picky, or she's not picky, or it's not picky, whatever gender or non-gender you want to assign to it. It
right.
really does.
God is not
matter.
A gender. God is not a gender. He created, you know, the gender factor for animals and for humans. But God is not a gender. God is all.
And it's you know, a lot of people think that their spiritual path or their spirituality, whatever name you want to assign to it, is exclusionary of the their religion, and it's not. The two can coexist just fine.
Exactly. Your religion is the truth that you live by. And if that fits your needs, then you need to immerse yourself in it. But always know that you have a spirituality, and that is your connection with the source.
Yeah. And that's an important
thing. You can develop it in any way you desire.
That's an important thing. Well, we seem to have a caller on the line. They're going to be put into the queue with us in just a moment. And hopefully they are actually a winner. The producer was collecting information from them. So we'll find out who it is. But in the meantime, you know, it really is. It's a tough, you know, just trying to find a definition for spirituality when you actually just look it up. You're going to find yourself... You're confused already.
Oh, there's because, so much about spirituality because it's limitless. And, you know, it can meet so many needs that you have and you don't desire and you don't understand what those needs are until you've met them and you feel that satisfaction.
Okay, we've got Adriana on the line. Adriana, can you hear us okay? I'm not hearing Adriana.
Okay,
Hello, are you there, Adriana? Okay, I'm hearing the producer, but I'm not hearing Adriana. Hello, can you hear us now? Okay, Adriana, it sounds like you may have the answers.
Cool.
Okay, can you tell us what the animal was? Hello? Have we lost her again? Okay. That's the right answer. And where was it? Yes, we hear you, and can you tell us what pages it was on? Yes, we're still here. Oh, don't hang up. Okay, you've got the answer. So, hang on the phone. The producer needs to get your phone, your name and your address so we can mail you the book. And you're going to win that, you've won that autographed copy of Linda Drake's book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. So, congratulations. Okay. I hope the producer gets her contact information down right for me. Because I can't really hear her well enough. All right, Linda, we've just got a few minutes left now before this program is over. Anything you wanted to say to wrap this up?
I just want to encourage your listeners to go to my website. And my book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, was written by the group consciousness of Abraham and Spirit. I can't take credit for it except that I typed it for them. But it is a beautifully written book that gives you the answers that we're all looking for about what happens as we go through the doorway of death and what the soul's journey looks like and how you can have the connection with your loved ones in spirit that will help you move through your grief. Because often we experience grief, whether it's the loss of a relationship or the loss of a loved one. And so understanding that grief helps us on that journey.
That's so very, very true. It is really tough. You know, when grieving is a process that some of us avoid for a long time in our lives and then are suddenly often confronted with it over and over and over again all of a sudden, and we don't have much practice at dealing with it.
Well, none of us understand about it until we're faced with it, because you can watch your friends and family go through it, but you don't understand it until it's in your life. And so if you can understand the process of grieving, then it helps you go through that, go through the process.
Yeah, and grieving is something that it's always an individual journey, I think, too. There isn't any roadmap for it. There's no fast answers. There's no way to help someone else do it. It's a journey that we all sort of make on our own.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, with that, we've got to call it an end for the night. I have really enjoyed tonight's show, and it went way too fast. And it's been a great show, and we've had a lot of fun with our discussion and the contest to win a copy of your book. But it is coming to an end. So we're going to do our little contest again. We'll do the contest on October 9th. But next week, our guest will be Catherine Sherwenka from the Oneness Movement. And the following week, it'll be Washali. So enjoy the program, and we will see you again next week. And I'm your host, Gia Scott. And good night. Well, Linda, it was great.